Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is a training kind of question, and what it came down to was someone asked if I could explain in a podcast how to identify if an issue they were having with strength progressions was technical or physical, meaning are they just doing something wrong in the lift, or are they not doing accessories correctly? Now, I was just asked this actually shortly, like just yesterday, and I thought it'd be interesting to break this down and do kind of a general one today on accessories and strength progressions for squat, bench, and deadlift. And what I want to give is what your accessories should be for those three lifts, progressions that you can follow, and then hit a one rep max, a new one rep max in week 10. So in 10 weeks. Now, the idea of this is if you follow this progression, and in 10 weeks you get a very minor jump in one rep max strength, or you don't get a jump in one rep max strength, you'll definitively know that it's definitely your technique. Because if you are able to progress in your strength for accessories that are well-rounded, meaning they cover everything that would be wrong physical development-wise with the squat, bench, and deadlift, if you've gotten stronger on those exercises, meaning you've, like so for bench, if you've made your chest stronger, your triceps stronger, your, you know, biceps, your front delts, your lats, if you've made all those supporting structures and the movers, okay, the muscles that move the weight, all stronger, in 10 weeks, you should be able to move more weight. If you can't, then it is a technical issue. So, what I wanted to do today was to give you this podcast that says, do this for the next 10 weeks, and then you'll definitively know, or as much as I can do in a podcast, you'll have a really darn good idea, how about that, whether you have a physical issue or a technical issue. Now, the technique stuff, I have yet to figure out how in the world am I going to do that in the podcast, because I can watch 10 people squat, and all 10 will have some similarities and some differences, and sometimes the cues you have to give one person the complete opposite of another person because they're built differently. So there is not one correct way to squat. So anybody who ever coaches you that is an absolutely full of shit. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. So if you line up 10 different people, they will have 10 different squat stances. They will have different sets of cues, different types of positioning things. So if somebody just tells you to squat like they squat, no, that is not correct. And they definitely shouldn't have all of their athletes, if they're a coach, squatting the same way. That is a bad coach. Okay? Now, they'll disagree with me, of course, but think about it. You know, if I line up 10 people and some people have really long torso, some people have short torso, some people have long, like, upper legs, which is your femurs, okay, femur bones. Some people have long femurs and short femurs. It's going to change the tilt position. People also have different, like, openings of hip sockets. So, for example, in squats, is like squat width stance has a lot to do with all three of those factors. So torso length, femur length, and then also the opening of their hip sockets. So all of that stuff is different per person. So if you make 10 people all squat the same in the exact same position, there might be two or three that it works really well with, like three to four that, like, it kind of sort of works, but it doesn't really feel super comfortable. In about like 8 or 12 weeks, they kind of get like some hip pains, some knee pains. They get some small annoying pains. Then you'll have a few people who just literally can't squat that way. They're just built so differently that they can't possibly get to parallel and squat even remotely comfortable. So it'll be interesting for me to put that together on how to do a technique-based podcast, but I'll figure out something, I'm sure. So let's start here with accessories and give you strength progressions and get you started on your way to identifying whether it's a strength or a technical issue. Now, I will say that most likely, if you put together good accessories and you train them with good, solid progressions, you're going to get some jump in one rep max strength. So even if it's a technical issue, you might only get, say, in 10 weeks, maybe you get a 5-pound PR in your squat, or the squat just feels more comfortable at the same weight. So you've squatted it before, but it was really shaky, and this time you come back and you hit it really solid. That is a sign that, like, you got some physical benefit, but you probably still want to look at technique as well. Now, is there ever going to be somebody who has no technique issues whatsoever, their technique is perfect, and they just need to do physical progressions? No. So I've lifted with people who've been doing like powerlifting for 20 years, and they still work on technique stuff all the time, because your body's constantly changing, adapting, moving around. The environments are different. Every single day you come into it a little bit different. So technique certainly gets more and more refined. You know, so maybe their variances are very, very small and subtle, and most people can't pick them out. But you're going to have people who are very elite level, and they're still going to have technique to work on. So whether something's purely technique or purely physical, there's almost never like a pure separation of the two. But there definitely are people who are kind of newer to lifting. Let's say you're 5 years or less into like doing squat, bench, and deadlift for one rep maxes. If you're 5 years or less, you're probably going to have large technique mistakes, and you're still going to have a lot of learning to do. As you get past 5 years, technique becomes kind of a less and less of an issue, but there's still things to work on. And then just getting very ridiculously precise accessories makes a big difference, as well as getting sleep, recovery, food, all that stuff. So everything has to be more fine-tuned, expanding out from just the training as you go further and further in your lifting career. Okay, enough me BSing, but that's some good background info. So kind of the general question was how do you know if it's strength or technique? The answer is going to be work on both, and you'll figure it out along the way. So if you're working on both, they're both going to get better, you're going to get stronger. So, and one way to think of it too is, if your strength in accessory lifts is going up, but your one rep max isn't. So let's say you do this 10-week progression I'm about to give you, and all of a sudden your one rep max does not go up at all. Then overwhelmingly, it's definitely something going on with technique, and or you're not recovering well, you're not eating well, you're not sleeping well, you have really high levels of stress. So I've had people before who didn't respond very well to proper training and nutrition because they were sleeping like 4 to 5 hours a night. They had enormous amounts of stress going through family issues, work issues, all this stuff. Their body was just shut down, just too much cortisol, too much stress hormones. The body had just other things to deal with than improving their one rep max. So sometimes outside factors get in the way. So if you get stronger in your accessory lifts, but your one rep max doesn't go up, then you have to look at all those outside factors and make sure they're getting cleaned up or addressed in some way. And then make sure that you do get your technique addressed. Okay. So, okay, here we go. So I'm going to go through and kind of talk about what the most important accessories are for squat, bench, and deadlift. Like what things you should look at or want to train with your accessories. Oh, excuse me. And then I'll give you a sample workout structure. Okay. So everything I'm about to say is going to be in a handout if you would like it. So you can just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll send you the outline for this podcast. So for squat, okay, you want to look at quad strength specific to your squat stance position. You want to look at hamstring strength specific to your squat stance position and glute strength specific to your squat stance position. Then you would want to look at core bracing and pelvic tilt control. So those are kind of some big ones to look at. And if sometimes people say, like, what if my knees are caving in? Well, if you get stronger glutes and hamstrings, the knees won't cave in as much. And then what happens if my knees cave in due to a poor pelvic tilt? Because that happens all the time. So that's why we included core bracing and pelvic tilt control as one of your accessories or things you should focus on. So squat strength in specific to your squat stance position. What this means is sometimes people will do leg extensions to make their squats stronger. I mean, their quads stronger for squatting. That's not the most direct way of doing it. So a leg extension does use your quads, but it doesn't use your quads in the way in which they're used in a squat. So if you were to compare, say, a front squat in your squat stance position, your normal squat, your competitive like back squat stance position. So if you were to do your quad strength in that position versus leg extensions, if you progress in front squats, it's going to have a much greater carryover to your overall squat strength than leg extensions will. And it's just because it's a more specific usage of the muscle and the positions. And then also there's a bunch of collateral benefits like core bracing. You still use your glutes and hamstrings while you're doing a front squat, even though it's quad dominant. So, but that's what you'd want to look for, is your quad accessory should be some type of, doesn't have to be a squat, but if I'm trying to give you guys very basic kind of suggestions, a quad focused squat is really good. So that would be a front squat, even with heels elevated, if you want to. That can isolate the quads even more. You can do safety bar squats. So that's, again, a more uprighted torso position. So you want a squat that's an uprighted torso position that focuses on the quads. So sometimes people will do, like, heels elevated goblet squats with dumbbells. But if you're a decent squatter, you can't hold a heavy enough dumbbell to actually make a good challenge for that to be the best accessory. Sometimes people will do belt squat squats. So belt squat squats. So the belt squat machine, they'll do squats on that. So that's another one that's really good. Sometimes for variations, we'll even do hex bar deficit deadlifts, because that works your quads as well, and it's a more uprighted position. So even though the weight is down your hands, it's still very, very similar to a squat style position. So that's another idea. And then there are things like leg pressing with your squat stance width in a quad dominant position on the foot plate, which is low position on the foot plate. You also have hack squats. You can do Bulgarian split squats. There's a lot of variations. Some people do step ups. I don't think it's that accurate to a squat, but it's an option still. But those are kind of the ideas you want to do, is quad based movements where your quad's the main focus. And why I'm saying squat stance position is the more similar you can make your quad movement to your back squat, the greater carryover you're going to have. Then our hamstring strength is going to be the same kind of concept. Is I want to focus on something that's big, heavy exercise for my hamstrings. That would be RDLs, stiff leg deadlifts. You can do those against bands or chains or not. You can do banded from the bottom, banded from the top. You can do deficit variations of all those, which helps as well. There's also box squats are really good for hamstring development. So you can do box squats with a camber bar. So that way you can get a really good forward lean without worrying about the bar rolling over your neck or up into your neck. So that's a really good option as well. So we do even do box squats on our belt squat. We have a bench on our belt squat. So we do box squats on that, and that helps stretch the hamstrings and work the hamstrings. So you'd want to do a hamstring-focused movement specifically to the squat stance width. So some non-direct, kind of less direct accessories would be like, again, leg press, but a feet high on the platform. That's more hamstring based and still squat width. You can also do, like, we have an inverse curl from Westside Barbell at our gym. So that's another one that's actually pretty good. It's more applicable, I feel, to deadlifts than squatting, but it's still a pretty good hamstring style movement. Then we have glutes. So again, any kind of so you can get glute development in stiff leg deadlifts, Romanian deadlifts, and especially if you band from the bottom and you make sure that you lock out with a glute flex, not a lower back flex. So that's a technique issue. So you have to make sure you actually do the exercises with your glute being the main focus, glutes and hamstrings, not your lower back. So some people do Zercher squats. I don't think they're that effective. I think you have more limitations in those than you actually have weight, like, challenge. So it's just going to pull your shoulders down and forward. It's going to hurt your your elbow pits. So it's hard to just brace correctly against a Zercher squat. So I don't think those are very effective. But other glutes, like we have, like, hip thrusts, they do work the glutes. It doesn't work your glute as specific to, like, a deep bend in a squat. It's more of like a glute lockout, like you would use in a conventional deadlift, like the top half of a deadlift. But it's still an option. It's a good option to kind of play around with and get glute burn. So you want to do something that attacks those muscles. So in your workout, you want to make sure you have something that specifically attacks your quads, specifically attacks your hamstrings, and specifically attacks your glutes. And then you want something that does core bracing and pelvic tilt control. A good example is dead bug variations. You search that on YouTube. We also have just other kind of like side plank variations, regular planking variations. You want to do things that help you work on challenging abdominal strength and holding your position, holding with an even pelvic tilt, making sure your pelvic tilt isn't dumped forward while you're doing any of those positions. You'll know because your lower back will hurt like hell. So you can also do psoas sit-ups. So sit-ups that force you to kind of hold your hip flexors in position and arch and bend through the abdominal core. So Louis Simmons is a big fan of these. So that would be an example of doing like a crunch on the floor where your feet are hooked under something for balance and bracing. But you're going to put a medicine ball under, like behind your back. And you want to arch over top of the ball and then squeeze back up with your abs. Arch back over the ball, squeeze back up with your abs. And that's a really good variation of trying to teach abdominal bracing muscles specific to positional control of the pelvic tilt. So those are some good options, okay, and they're going to pretty much cover everything you need. Now, is there stuff like rooting your feet in the floor? Yes. You know, appropriate bracing of like holding the pee and inhaling and holding air specifically a certain way? Yes. So those are more technique-based things, so I'm trying to give you more physical-based things. So a sample workout would be doing your core bracing and some type of mobility warm-up as your warm-up. So you can do like curtsy lunges, side lunges, walking lunges. You can do like the world's greatest stretch. If you haven't heard that, you can YouTube that. But you would do stuff like that mixed with core bracing and do it as a circuit. What that does, it helps kind of awaken your core bracing and it helps open up your mobility for squats. So you can squat in good, healthy positions. So core bracing and mobility warm-up is a great way to kind of start the workout. You would then do your competition style work with squats to work on technique and just getting volume of squats in. You would then want to do your glute specific accessory, and then your hamstring specific accessory, and then your quad specific accessory. So the quad specific should be last because most people are quad dominant. So in your accessories, you want to put the weakest muscle first, so that way you make sure you attack it when you're nice and fresh and get a big change on it. Okay. Now, down at the end of the podcast here, I'm going to be talking about sets and reps. So right now, I'm just giving you the exercises. So again, for squat, and again, if you can't write this down or you don't have time to write it down, shoot us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you this handout that has all this stuff written down. So again, a sample squat workout would be core bracing and mobility warm-up. Then you do your competition-style work with the squats to work on technique. You then want to do a glute accessory, hamstring accessory, then quad accessory. Boom. Done. Now, bench press, chest and triceps, okay, absolutely going to be the biggest accessories. You then do need to focus on back in terms of your lats and mid-back because that's your bracing muscles. You use your mid-back and your lats to lock your shoulders in place so that way your shoulder is anchored very well for your tricep and chest to fire off of it to create a strong drive up out of the bench press, okay? Then you want to have good, strong front shoulders and biceps because they're accessory style movements where if you have very weak biceps, you'll have more likelihood to tear your pec, by the way, on the way down in a bench press. And then also you'll just have a hard time controlling the way down on a bench press. You won't be able to stay in a really good position because your biceps can't hold and brace the weight. So those are going to be your main focus points for bench press is chest and triceps for sure, obviously. Then back, addressing your lats and mid-back, front delts and biceps. Okay, now how do we put together a workout like this? Is typically we do upper back isometrics and heavy eccentrics as your way to warm up for the bench press. So what this would be is I might do pull-up negatives. So I jump to the top of a pull-up position, I kind of hold it for 3 seconds, then I lower myself down for 3 seconds. And maybe I'll do sets of 3 to 5 reps like that. What that does is it ignites and kind of excites the lat muscles in the back bracing. So that way when you go bench press, you're already freaking warmed up. The joints are warmed up. There's blood flowing through your shoulders and elbows. And your back is already well aware of what it's supposed to be doing. So you improve your mind-muscle connection. So these are little techniques that help you address your technique ability. So they help your technical strength. So like we said, doing for squats, doing mobility drills with core bracing before you actually squat, that actually improves your performance for squatting. It won't wear you out, it'll actually improve you. So just like doing upper back isometrics and heavy eccentrics will help improve your mind-muscle connection with the back, it actually improves your performance while you bench press. So you do upper back isometrics and heavy eccentrics, and that could be pull-ups, pull-downs, various types of rows. You want to do things that are typically not lower back kind of murders. So you don't want to kill your lower back in these things. So pull-ups and pull-downs are pretty good. If you're going to do a row, you can do a chest-supported row or a seated row. I'd definitely avoid a dumbbell or barbell row. It just wears out your lower back too much. And that can kind of affect your negatively impact your arch on the bench press. So then you do your technique work on the bench press. And then I typically like to do my accessory work for benching in supersets, because there's about six things we want to cover, which would be chest and back, triceps and biceps, front shoulders, and rear shoulders. So if you want to cover six things in a decent amount of workout time, like not have to be in the gym 2 hours, doing supersets is really good. So we would superset chest and back. So I would do something for my chest. It could be an isolation if I feel like my chest is behind my triceps, meaning I want to isolate out my chest from my triceps so it can catch up. So that would be flies. I could do dumbbell flies at various angles. You can do cable flies, machine flies. For back, I typically like to do lots of rows and pull-ups and pull-downs. So one chest workout, I'll do pull-ups and pull-downs. The other chest workout, I'll do rows. So that's kind of a good kind of specific example on how to put those together and vary them, so from workout to workout. So maybe one workout, I might do pull-ups and pull-downs for my back, and I might do flies for my chest. The next workout, maybe I'll do rows for my back, and I'll do presses for my chest. So kind of just playing around with it. You just want to find something that annoys the shit out of your chest and something that like targets your back. Put those together as a superset. And again, we'll cover sets and reps here at the end. Then you would move on to triceps and biceps. Do something that works your triceps, do something that works your biceps, do those as a superset. Then do something for front shoulders and rear shoulders. So maybe front raises, and then bent over like rear delt raises or cable flies, like reverse cable flies. Just do something that targets those muscles. Okay, so that will be your bench workout, is upper back isometrics and heavy eccentrics. Then you'll do your bench volume, okay, competition benching, so that we can work on technique. Then you got to do chest and back supersets, tricep and bicep supersets, and front shoulder and rear shoulder supersets. Cool. Okay. So next we have conventional deadlift. In the conventional deadlift, you want to make sure you address hamstrings, glutes, low back, lats, and even quads when you're looking at the accessories. So hamstrings obviously are going to be a huge, huge component for conventional deadlifts. Then you want to work on glutes, lower back, lats, and like we said, quads. So hamstrings, again, can be really anything that targets your hamstrings under very heavy loads. So I wouldn't necessarily do like a single leg machine leg curl, because it's just not a very heavy weight load. So you want to get some damage into that tissue and kind of really beat it up. So stiff leg deadlifts, Romanian deadlifts, those can be done from deficits against bands, against chains if you wanted to. I've even done slowed eccentric stiff leg deadlifts and RDLs on our belt squat. It's just a nice, neat feel. Again, like we said, we have the West Side Barbell Inverse Curl. So that's a really good explosive style movement you can do to work on hamstring strength. So you want to focus on that kind of stuff. For glutes, hip thrusts, you can definitely do any kind of hip thrust, barbell thrust, stuff like that. We even do like on our belt squat, we'll just use the belt harness and walk out in front of the cable, so the cable is pulling from behind us, and mimic a stiff leg deadlift or an RDL, even though there's nothing in your hands. And that's really good for firing up your glutes, especially if you do it against bands. But you want to do something that targets your glutes really well. Then you want to look at lower back, and lower back is interesting because you more so just want lower back bracing strength rather than contraction style strength. So often what I'll do is I'll do a glute movement that involves lower back bracing, or a hamstring movement that involves lower back bracing. So for example, slowed eccentric stiff leg deadlifts is great for lower back bracing. Even 45 degree hyperextensions is great for glutes and hamstrings and works on lower back bracing. So you don't have to do a lower back contraction, you just have to do a bracing. So another like common example is like good mornings. That's another one that's really common. So you want to do something that targets your lower back in terms of a bracing position. So I've even had clients, I stole this from Martin Licious, who was a strongman competitor. He just won World's Strongest Man, but he does bent over stone holds. So we have Atlas stones at our gym, so we'll just kind of pick them up, like bend over and pick them up an inch off the ground and just hold that position. You can do it with sandbags too if you want. But that's a really good just kind of lower back bracing issue, exercise. Then you want to focus on lats, and it's more so lats than mid-back for conventional deadlifting. So that's pull-ups, pull-downs, straight-arm pull-downs, one-arm rows where you pull them back towards your hip, something where it's an actual hip-based contraction, like lat contraction, not mid-back contraction. Then quads from the floor. And this is specific. It depends on somebody's body type and body build, how much quad strength they need to get the bar started off the floor in a conventional deadlift. But the stronger your quads are, the higher you'll be able to get the bar off the floor before your hamstrings and glutes have to take over. So rather than turning your deadlift into a stiff leg deadlift, get strong quads and drive the damn bar up off the floor before your hamstrings and glutes have to really take over. So one of the best things for that is just deficit deadlifts, deficit conventional deadlifts. And again, you can do them against bands or chains. You can do them banded from the bottom or reverse banded. We even have, I'm just blanking on the name right now, but Mark Bartos, he has a company, which hopefully I'll remember here in a second, but he makes a deadlift platform, actually, that has like a cable attachment to it, and you can have a training partner actually pull through this cable and pulley, and they can actually apply pressure on your deadlift, which is really kind of cool. So they can actually apply like an isometric style pressure. So right when you're about to blast off the floor, a partner can yank really hard on the cable and add almost like 100 pounds or so. And then after you're driving and driving and driving, doing an isometric for 3 to 5 seconds, they would let go of the handle, and then boom, you'll blast up off the floor and be super freaking strong. So that's a really fun way to mix in isometrics plus actual movement. So that's a really fun variation. And I know Westside Barbell is coming out with a new hydraulic-based machine. I'm not sure if it's electronic or magnet or whatever it is. But they're coming up with a machine that's going to allow you to do similar movements where it's a blend of isometrics into actual movement-based stuff. So that stuff's really cool and very effective and fun to do, but not everybody has access to it. So even something as simple as front squats actually helps your conventional deadlift strength off the floor. So you can do that as well. Just make sure your heels are raised. That makes it a little more quad dominant. So a conventional deadlift workout would be, again, upper back isometrics and heavy eccentrics to start out. So again, that improves mind-muscle connection with your lats. That helps you keep the bar nice and close to you, saves your back, makes the deadlift a lot more efficient. You then do competition deadlifts to work on your technique. You would then do a superset of hamstring and glute-based movements to work on those muscles. You would then do lower back bracing, and sometimes we'll mix in grip as a superset with that. And then you would do quads. So that's kind of the order you go through. And again, the reason why quads are last is because they're typically stronger than hamstrings and glutes anyhow, and they're less important in a conventional deadlift than they would be in, say, a squat, for example. So that is conventional deadlift. The last one we got to go through is sumo deadlift. So hopefully I haven't lost everybody here yet. Hopefully people are still interested in this. I know at least one person is, so woohoo. sumo deadlift is different than a conventional deadlift. Absolutely. They're different lifts because they have different positions. So in sumo deadlift, one of the biggest things you got to work on is the abilities for the hips to accept weight. Meaning they have to hold a wide stance sumo position and not let the knees cave to transfer the weight into the quads and adductors and kind of glutes and lower back. You have to be able to maintain hip positioning under very heavy weight loads. So we have a bunch of various of exercises we do there. But essentially, you have to train your body to be able to handle weight in the hip joints, like in the hip sockets. So sometimes we'll do very uprighted kettlebell squats where the kettlebell will hang, like you almost mimic a sumo stance position, but you're going to be elevated with your feet on stuff. So that way you can hang a kettlebell between your legs and it won't smack the floor. And then you're going to be very uprighted. So you're going to be a little more upright than a traditional sumo, and you're going to squat up and down, just kind of grinding and kind of working into those hip muscles. We'll do that against kettlebell. We'll do that against dumbbells. We'll do that against the belt squat. You can even do deficit sumo stance deadlifts, which I do a lot of times with clients because it works really well. But you have to work on the ability for the hips to accept weight in the sumo position without knees caving. So you have to strengthen that position. You also have to be able to get into that position. So you might need to work on mobility to actually open up your hips and get your body to that position. Then you want to work on glutes, hamstrings, lats, and quads to drive you from the floor. So it sounds like a similar list, but they're all slightly different because you have a different stance position. So a sample workout, for example, is we do hip positioning warm-up and lat excitement. So what that means is we're going to do something for the lats, like our heavy isometrics or pull-ups, eccentric, stuff like that, to again get the mind-muscle connection ready for the lats. You then want to do some type of hip-based warm-up, and that could be the uprighted kettlebell squats, dumbbell squats, belt squat squats. You can even do it with a barbell on your back, but it's not as accurate. It's kind of just jacks up the back a little bit. So you want to do something for that. Then you would deal into your competition-style deadlifts to get your volume and technique work. Then you want to do glute and hamstring supersets, and then quads. And sometimes we'll pair that with adductors if a person has weak adductors. So we might do that to help hold their position. So those are some sample formats of what accessories you should focus on to make sure you don't have any weak areas. So too often I'll see people come into the gym and they'll want to get better at bench. So they'll come in, they'll do some kind of bullshit like arm circle stuff as they're BSing with friends. They'll lay down on the bench. They'll do some reps and some sets and do some work there. Then they go over and they do dumbbell presses. Then they go over and they do tricep press downs, and then they leave the gym. So they worked on their chest and triceps, but they didn't do anything for their front delts, their back, their rear delts, didn't do anything for the biceps. And then also, usually the whole time they're doing all that stuff, they're bullshitting with friends and not really paying attention to good quality. So all of these accessories do work if you blend them all in and make sure we don't have any missing spots, but then the quality in which you put in the effort matters a lot. So you have to be mindful of whether you're actually flexing and squeezing the muscles. So we have a podcast that we've done in the past talking about movement intention versus muscle intention. And what that refers to is your accessories should be done like a bodybuilder. So that's podcast number 220, muscle intention versus movement intention. When you do accessories as a powerlifter, okay, that we're doing them for squat, bench, and deadlift, you need to move like a bodybuilder moves. Your goal isn't to just shove weight around from A to B. Okay, we don't want any momentum. We want muscular stress, muscular damage. We want the muscles to get beat up. And that's going to help you get a lot stronger over time because you're actually putting in a higher quality of work. So we're not interested in just shoving weight around. We're interested in challenging and addressing and getting the musculature, the specific musculature, to grow. So anytime you do accessories, you have to move slow and controlled. Focus on muscle burn, muscle involvement, and pay attention to what you're doing. Don't just throw things around. Don't let momentum get involved. Okay? Your accessories should have no momentum involved and just be nice, slow, steady, constant movements. Now, the last thing we'll look at here is how do you progress these sets and reps and whatnot. So in week one, you want to do 3 to 5 sets per accessory exercise. Now, how do I decide whether I do 3 or whether I do 5? If you're weaker, okay, you're on the weaker scale of things, where your squat is only like your body weight or 1.5 times your body weight, you probably want to do more sets because you probably aren't strong enough to make your accessories very heavy, so therefore you're going to need more sets to create the sufficient amount of muscle damage. If you're strong enough to do over 1.5 times your body weight for squats, okay, so say you're squatting like even 2 times your body weight or something like that, you could probably get away with only 3 sets because you're probably strong enough for your accessories to cause sufficient enough muscle damage in 3 sets. So the weaker you are, the more you need to do. The stronger you are, the less you need to do. And the bigger muscles need more, the smaller muscles need less. So maybe for biceps, you find out 3 is probably pretty good, whereas if you're doing pull-ups and pull-downs, you might want to do 5 because it's a big muscle and you want to put in a lot of work. So our goal is 3 to 5 sets per accessory of 8 reps. And this is week 1. And again, I can send you the handout. Shoot us an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. But week 1 is 3 to 5 sets of 8 reps. Week 2 is the same number of sets for 7 reps. So you're going to give up a rep per set, but you're going to add weight to what you did in week 1. So if I did 100 pounds for 8 reps, I'm going to maybe try 110 pounds for 7 reps. Week 3 is the same number of sets for 6 reps, but again with more weight. Week 4 is the same number of sets, but for 5 reps with more weight. So you're going to do the same accessories, weeks 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to do them for 3 to 5 sets, but whatever you decide on week 1, you want to kind of do the same number of sets throughout the 4 weeks. And you start at 8 reps, then 7 reps, then 6 reps, then 5 reps over the 4 weeks. Each week, as you let one rep go, you try to add more weight. that becomes your challenge, that becomes your goal. Okay? Now in week 5, you're going to pick new accessories. So if I was doing, you know, flat bench dumbbell press for first 4 weeks, I might move to a 30 degree incline dumbbell press for chest. Whatever I was doing for triceps, I want to pick a new tricep movement. Whatever I was doing for hamstrings, I want to pick a new hamstring movement. So in week 5, you're going to pick all new accessories. Again, you're going to do 3 to 5 sets. And again, it kind of depends on how strong you are and how big the muscles are that you're working. But you want to do 3 to 5 sets of 6 reps. Now, since these are new movements compared to the first 4 weeks, you're not trying to compare any amount of weight that you're doing with the new ones compared to the old ones. You just want to try the best you can for 3 to 5 sets of 6 reps. And it's okay if the weight has to change over the 3 to 5 sets. That's fine. Just do the best you can for 6 reps per set. Week 6 is the same number of sets for 5 reps. So you're going to go down a rep but add weight. Week 7, same number of reps, go down, same number of sets, go down to 4 reps but add weight. So week 5 is 3 to 5 sets of 6. Week 6 is 3 to 5 sets of 5. Week 7 is 3 to 5 sets of 4. So each week you go down one rep, but you try to add more weight. Week number 8. You still keep the same accessories, but you're only going to do one working set for 3 reps. So the previous week you did 4 reps, this time you're doing 3, so you can move more weight. But you're only going to do one set. Then, week 9, you try for new 1 rep max attempts. Okay? So that's your goal. So week 8, only doing one set, allows you to still keep your intensity up, your nervous system up, so that way you still stay used to what heavy feels like. But only doing one set allows you not to beat up your joints as much. It actually allows a little bit of joint and muscular recovery, while keeping your nervous system still excited for the heavy weights. Week 9, you come in, you try new 1 rep maxes. Now, what happens if along the way something goes wrong and kind of things got jacked up? Then you have an extra week, okay? So just pick back up wherever you messed up and add a week to everything. And then within 10 weeks, you'll be able to still try a 1 rep max. So if you follow it correctly, you can try a new 1 rep max in 9 weeks. If you have a mistake or anything in there where maybe you picked weird stuff and you had to refigure out the right weights, then maybe you need an extra week and it'll take 10 weeks. But that's the idea, okay? So you want to go into this, start it all fresh. So if you're currently beat up from your training, take a week to kind of play around and just let your body recover. Then you want to start these workout structures with these accessories and see if in 9 weeks you can get a new PR. Now, each of these workouts, like the squat one, should only be done once a week if you're also deadlifting on some other day of the week. The deadlift one should be done once a week if you're also squatting on some other day of the week. And the bench press, if you're only benching once a week and that's what you're used to, go ahead and stay with that. If you bench twice a week, you can still keep the same format. Just pick different accessories between the two workouts, so that way you don't get too repetitive in your motions. So that helps save some joint stress. Okay? So, this was a general thing that I tried to do through a podcast, but it probably was still very specific in terms of information tried to cover in 40 minutes. So if you have any questions, shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We do have a sample kind of strength-based programming that we're going to start kind of offering, and it's going to probably be offered for money, to be very honest with you, for like maybe like $20 or something. But it's a program you can run like forever and ever and ever. It's just basically a workout format that I'm kind of explaining here. So it's kind of how can you get really good programming and learn how to personalize it to yourself over time. That's what I went ahead and wrote. So I wrote a structure that would work very well for most people. You can then practice over time putting in different accessories that we have suggestions for, and then actually learn to create your own strength programming. So that way you don't have to kind of buy a bunch of programs over the years if you don't have a ton of money, and you can also learn yourself on how to modify these things along the way. Now, what made me think of this is a lot of times I have clients where we're work together. I'll help them, you know, throughout the course of like, say, you know, a few months, if not a few years, and we find exact issues, and we know exactly the right amount of accessories, the right type of accessories to put in, and then, like, due to financial reasons or whatever, we aren't able to continue to work together. Well, I usually leave them still with the format that we used, and then they get to grow it and build it over time. And a lot of the times I hear back that they're super thankful of that, and they're still doing the program, you know, X number of years later, and still getting stronger. And I was like, well, dang, that's awesome. You know, I'm glad the formats are working. And then I had someone ask me, like, well, what format do you use? Can I just get the format? And I was like, well, okay, we could probably do that. So if somebody's asking for it, that means there's probably some kind of a demand. So I wrote it up, and then hopefully we can see if you guys actually like it and find it beneficial, like everybody in the past has. Okay, with all that said, email me if you're interested for the, like, everything we covered today. No charge whatsoever, just I'm going to send it to you, okay? Now, if you're interested in more of a complete program that you can design yourself, like, with the format that we're going to give you, like I said, that we're offering that for $20. So if you're interested in that, shoot us an email about that, and I'll send it to you, and I'll even work with you the first week to kind of help you make sure you figure it out and know what exercises to pick. So you can kind of send me what you would choose to put in. I'll tell you if that's a good or bad place to start, maybe give you some different suggestions if I think there's maybe some better things you could do. So there's some offer for help. Okay, so if you invested 40 minutes into listening to this, I want to thank you very much and be able to give you some help back in return. So hopefully we can give you everything you need. So if you've really been struggling to increase your strength and it's been frustrating and you really want to finally just conquer this demon, please, please, please email us, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'll make sure you get something that'll move you forward. I promise, promise, promise. Okay? Okay, cool. So thank you for listening to this. Hopefully it gave some people some good food for thought. We got you some great offers for some information. And hopefully we can put this all together and get you some new PRs. Cool. If you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you. So we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.